Welcome to lesson five, You Matter. This is the first lesson in the second cycle of excellence, and this month, you're going to see a lot of the image that I shared in our last lesson. The 360-degree business design approach helps you build a business that works with your strengths and keeps you focused on doing the right things at the right time in your growing business. I introduced you to the personal context piece last month, and today we're going to go even deeper. As you'll recall, the most important product that your company has to offer is you. This is both a marketing concept and a mindset issue, which is why we're addressing it in more depth today. As you look at the left half of this image, you'll see that these two elements are about you, your personal context, and your creative type. The right half of the image is about your business, the context of the business, that is where it falls in the business life cycle, and your business model, that is how your business actually makes money. The top half of this image is all about the internals, your internals and the business's internals. The bottom half is about the externals, or the way the world experiences both you and your business. The rest of the world probably can't see your context or where your business falls on the life cycle, but they can see how you show up as a creative entrepreneur. They can see what your company offers and how it delivers on those offers. Now, why do these things matter? I find very often that the internals inform the externals and that the externals often reflect the internals. So much like last month, this is about developing awareness so that you can see how things are connected and how a change in one area might impact another. We'll cover the business side of things in a future lesson. Today, we're looking more closely at the internals of you. If you haven't already taken time to examine your core beliefs and values, you'll still want to do that work from our last lesson. As I said before, this work builds on itself. And today, as we look at your personal context, we're going to look specifically at your environment. You're also going to be invited to start making some changes this month if you haven't already, and we'll begin with your environment. Your personal environment has a lot to do with your ability to focus, be productive, or even stay healthy. While you may not be able to pack up and move to a new town, you can certainly start making small changes to your environment to help you be at your best and do your best work. Start by looking around the space you're currently in. How is your body positioned? Are you sitting or standing? How is the space arranged? Is it cluttered? Is it clean and Spartan? Is it filled with images and objects that inspire you, or is it barren? Are you in someone else's space? Or do you have a dedicated space to do your work? These are just a few things to consider as you look around your work area. Whether you're in a cafe or a co-working space or in a closet in your home, there are still things you can do to make your work environment more suited to you. Plants are a helpful way to add oxygen and cleaner air to your space. I've lived in tiny apartments where a plant or two not only worked to clean the air, but also to lift my spirits when new buds of life would shoot from the soil. Now, if plants aren't possible, choose inspiring images. It's relatively easy to hang a picture or keep a small photo by your workspace, even if your workspace is portable. For years, I kept a snapshot of my kids inside my laptop and I'd set it up wherever I was working. The goal here is for you to find one or two things that you can change in your environment to help you feel more motivated, inspired, or personally committed to being in that space on a regular basis to show up and do your work. If you're not feeling like coming to work, then you're more likely to skip out, especially if you're a chaotic creative who tends to follow their impulses. As Stephen Pressfield wrote in his book, The War of Art, you've got to make a habit of showing up consistently. Daily, if possible, because that's how you train the muse to be ready when you are, instead of waiting for divine inspiration to strike. Without a welcoming environment in which to work, you'll start to find excuses to not show up. I have an office in my home, but I rarely use it right now because it feels more like a storage unit than an office. I have boxes of books that I have yet to unpack because we need new bookshelves. So instead of working in my office, I sit on my couch most of the time. Now, that's not great for my back, but it's a much better view and more comfortable than my office. Once we get those bookshelves set up, I'll be back in there. That's the space in my home that feels the most like me. My keyboard is in there. My books are in there. My vision board and other inspiring images are in there. Sometimes it's pretty challenging to stay motivated in the living room when I'm 2 feet away from the television remote. Plus, having my laptop on the coffee table makes it too easy for me to jump into my work when I should be spending time with my sweetheart. Your environment matters. Pick one or two things that you can change that will make your workspace more you and more inviting for you. The other piece of your personal context I want to explore right now is what makes you the right person to be doing this work. Now, this is not so much why you do what you do. That's a part of it, and we'll cover that in a future lesson. Today, it's more about your credentials. What makes you the go-to person for your great work that you're bringing to the world? What is your specialty, your area of expertise? If you're a chaotic or a fusion creative, you may struggle to identify just one thing that you're doing, and that's fine. That's cool. Instead of looking for one thing, take a look at the bigger picture. Take a step back and identify the common threads. That's your specialty. Now, linear creatives don't tend to struggle with spotting their specialty nearly as much because monofocus is their preferred mode of operating. Some people think linears are a bit one-track minded, but that relentless focus makes it easier for them to find success in their market more quickly than the other creative types. Now, as a fusion creative myself, I've learned that the overarching umbrella, the thread that runs through almost everything I've done in my career, is about inspiring people to do the work to achieve their dreams. Whatever those dreams are, I want you to have them in abundance. And I'm also a role model of sorts for my clients, inspiring them by showing them how I go after my own dreams and desires. So it's also not about compromising your integrity or your values. That's a big one for me. It's why I say own your dreams without selling your soul. Now, to some people, that's nebulous or it feels too vague, but for my right audience, they know exactly what that means for them, and it's a big reason why they choose to work with me. So again, this is less about why you do what you do and more about why other people might choose to hire you. Now, if this feels a little awkward or a bit like bragging, great. That's the whole point of this exercise. I want you to get comfortable feeling this praise. We want to uncover the gold here. We're mining for the praise, the compliments, the testimonials, the accolades, the awards that you've gotten that already prove that you're perfect for this work that you're doing. Not because you need a pat on the back, although you might. This is your ammunition for when things get hard. Resilience or grit is one of the most needed and often overlooked skills that you need as a creative entrepreneur. You're going to face rejection. People are going to balk at your prices. People are going to call you names, make fun of you, and you're gonna fail. But digging up this ammunition now, you've started to create a wall of safety, a hedge against future resistance. It's another way to create your environment to empower you. I keep a box full of emails, cards, and notes that I've gotten from other people so that when I'm feeling resistance and resentment holding me down, I can pull myself back up. I just read a few of those notes and then I remember this is why I do this work. I remember the names and faces of the people I've helped over the years. I see the credentials on the wall to remind me how much time and effort I've already put into being the best that I can be at my craft. I have evidence all around me that gives me the courage and emotional fortitude to tell my haters to kick rocks. That's what we're starting to do here with your environment. Spend time considering your specialty. What sets you apart in the marketplace? Pretend for a moment that you are a one-of-a-kind car. How will people know it's you? Because there are cars, and then there are red cars, and some red cars have a sunroof, and a few red Corvettes have a sunroof, but even that's still too vague, not unique enough. What about a single red Corvette with a custom paint job and a sunroof? Now there's the thing that sets you apart. What's your custom paint job equivalent? What's your specialty? It's found in what's called your onlyness, and I did not develop this term. I learned it from Nilo for Merchant. Onlyness is that combination of all the things that make you, you. That slice of a slice of a slice of a slice that only belongs to you. So to help you get specific, I want you to build a list of 50 reasons why someone might choose to work with you. Now look to your credentials, to your years of experience, to any special processes, achievements, or methods that you might use. Anything that only you do, any unique ways of doing things or unique ways of being. Maybe you're older than the typical person in your market. Maybe you're younger. Maybe you bring a completely different perspective because you're not your target market. Independently, none of those things makes you unique, but combined together, you begin to craft a picture of what makes you truly unique in the marketplace and why your market would be silly to not want to work with you. So here's my example. I am a plus-sized, mixed-race, divorced woman over 40, mother to one teenager and one adult child. I'm a fusion creative who's written 2 best-selling business books, recorded 3 full-length albums, appeared on international television, and coached thousands of creative entrepreneurs over my 25-plus years in business, and I've helped many of them achieve 6, 7, or 8 figures. I'm sure you know plenty of women over 40 with 2 kids, and probably more than a few that are overweight. And a slice of that crowd has been divorced, has single-parented, and has remarried. But only a slice of those folks are creatives, and only a slice of them are mixed race, and even a smaller slice has written books, recorded music, or appeared on international television. That's what I mean by a slice of a slice of a slice of a slice. And I'm the only creative entrepreneur in the world right now that has the creative entrepreneur type spectrum. That piece by itself could be my specialty. But since I want to license that work to other coaches in the future, there has to be something else that makes me unique. No one other thing about me is that unique, but blended together, I am a one-of-a-kind original, and so are you. Now, here's the other kicker. Some people won't resonate with me because of those very uniquenesses. They won't like my plus-size body or my mixed-race heritage. They don't want to work with a woman or someone over 40. But the right people, my people, will understand that my uniqueness, my onlyness, is my advantage, and it's yours too. Your assignment is to spend time developing your list of 50 reasons why you are the right choice for your best clients. Find your onlyness, your specialty, and celebrate everything that you discover. Remember, this isn't about arrogance. It's about owning the value you bring to the table and the gifts that you already have to share with your right audience. And make those changes to your environment and see what happens. Next up in our money module, we're going to look at the fundamentals of generating consistent revenue. I know you've been waiting for this. I will see you there.